Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Mary Dearmond, good morning. How do your gardens grow? I would say they must be fecund with growth at the moment.
Well, there are certainly plenty of weeds coming up anyway, I can tell you that for nothing. The weeds seem to, it's funny, the minute you get that really, that bit of heat, the weeds outdo the plants that you really want to show off. And I suppose the secret at the minute is to get out there and little and often, you know, get out and weed.
And use a hoe.
Yeah, it's scuffle.
The most scuffle. Underused tool in the tool shed.
A good piece of advice for somebody, let's say, in the over 40s category who doesn't like bending down as much as usual.
A hoe is fantastic because if you get those weeds before they flower, they will. Now, you want a certain amount of weeds. You want to create a habitat. I'm saying that because Mary is coming down to see my garden in a bit.
He's been weeding for the last week.
I'm part of a mess, but so it's very important, Philip, to have weeds.
The house, the inside of the house is a complete mess, but you've been concentrating on the garden, have you? All right, look, stop your gabbing. Okay. We've got questions to be getting through here. John Lawler in Skerry says, I have a fabulous beech hedge on three sides of my garden. It is surrounded by a field and a ditch and forms the boundary of my property. It is well established over 15 years, 10 feet high, 6 feet wide, 300 feet long. It's been taken over by ivy, wild blackberry, nettles and a vigorous climbing and vining plant, which I think is called Dutchman's trumpet, which has a large white flower in summer. This is also growing into my grass. They are also destroying a lovely wild hawthorn ditch on the fourth side of the property. I'm concerned that the hedge and ditch will be overrun by these unwelcome invaders. Can your gardening experts advise on how I might deal with these weeds and protect my hedge?
You have everything. He has everything.
Yeah, but it's just gardening, isn't it?
You have to pull.
You just have to
be on it and pull the stuff out.
Yeah.
You can't let, if briars get into underneath the hedgerow, or any sort of hedge, you're in trouble because it will take it over. Ivy then will come next, or ivy beforehand. So you have to actually get out and dig them out at the roots.
That's right. And briars, they just hop. They literally hop and put down roots and whatever.
So no sophisticated technical advice.
Hard
no
work.
Silver bullets here. You're just saying elbow grease.
Elbow grease. And if possible, not to use any herbicides or anything that will do damage, especially being so near
you're going to wreck the beech hedge. So, do you know how briars grow? This is really interesting now. They grow and their thorns go backwards. So they latch on and latch on and latch on. So and every time they latch to the ground, they put in
new
a root system.
Yeah.
So you have to get
which then
out.
Grows underground.
Can go two or three feet
and emerge somewhere else where you didn't expect it.
That's right. But the most important thing on this, I think, most plants won't survive if you continually cut the foliage. So it's important to have a few briars. It's important to have those berries for the birds. It's important to have some nettles, all these sort of things. Don't let them take over. And if you continually take over off foliage, you'll weaken the root system and they'll disappear.
Because they need the leaves to photosynthesize.
Continually over how many years are
it's
we talking
job.
About?
It's a proper job.
We're not coming down to
especially
do it.
With a site like that, it will take time. Invite the friends around for a garden party.
And decent gloves.
I'll pass invitation.
Leather
thank you very
gloves,
much.
Leather
Dearman.
Gloves. Yeah.
Leather gloves, absolutely. Okay, ant invasion. Nicholas asks, please help me. I'm desperate. Our garden, big urban, he says in brackets, has been taken over by ants, both red and black. They are everywhere in the lawn, in the beds, in the plant plots. Our grandchildren come to visit but won't venture out into the garden anymore because if they sit on the grass, there will be ants crawling all over them. If I put a pot or anything on the lawn within an hour, the ants will be under it and burrowing up into it. We live near the sea and the soil is very sandy. I have tried powder, but the size of the garden militates against using powder. We are losing the battle and something will have to give. He wants to do the right thing, clearly, but
pots of mint.
Mint. Our oil, if you really want to get rid of them, an oil with peppermint in it is good.
I don't understand that, though. Why in pots? Why not in the ground itself?
You're not going to plant mint into the ground because it'll just take over the whole. That's nearly worse than the ants. For a start, so you have to grow mint in a pot.
Well, not if you're a fan of mojitos.
Yeah, exactly. Mint in a pot is the only answer. And you know, even if you have them on a patio, if you put a pot of mint on the patio, it tends to keep the ants away. Peppermint as well. Anything like that.
But yeah. I'm going to say
something.
But
it can be in a pot. I mean, that sounds counterintuitive.
I know,
maybe
yeah.
Take their word for it. Okay.
Yeah, give it a go.
The other thing, ants are part of our ecosystem and they don't do any harm.
They bite sometimes.
They bite. That's
They do harm to ground.
Yes.
Maybe not to anything else.
But try the mint as a, you know, instead of maybe... You know, stay away from the chemical at the minute. I know you've probably tried the powder and all the rest of it, but try the mint in pots around the area and see if that help the situation.
Dean Kildare asks, can I dig up some fabulous blue and pink wild plants from a local patch of land which is soon to be levelled and built upon? There are some fabulous yellow ones which are like a ground cover but not the fried egg plant. Would they survive as they are literally in bloom right now? If I wait until September, the chances are that they will be gone. There's also a rose bush from what was the old country garden. Would any cuttings survive if I got some?
Good time of the year for doing cuttings for roses. Absolutely, yeah. They'll be fine. It's not the best time of the year for transplanting. We're in the middle of a mini drought at the moment. We haven't had rain. I believe it's due on Sunday. So if you have to lift, either lift with a big root ball, water the plant before you lift it, take as much soil as possible, water it afterwards, cut back a lot of the foliage depending on the type of plant so it's not losing water through that, and give it a try. As gardeners, we do everything. The plant hasn't read the book.
Yeah.
And we do everything at the wrong time.
But if it isn't your land, you may have a problem. So take a few cuttings. If it isn't your land, you really have no... You shouldn't be digging up from some, you know, from wasteland.
Well, let's assume that owner's permission has been given.
Well, that's
here.
Perfect then. Yes, of course you can.
I've inherited a polytunnel in a new property. I'm cleaning it out to grow chilies. Is there anything I should do to ensure a pristine place before I move my chili plants in? Ask Liz and Leitrim.
Bacon powder.
Bacon powder. Yeah. Even jazz fluid, something like that, is fine for sterilising. As long as you're not going near the soil with it.
Just
so the structure and the pathways. So if there are any, do you know what's been grown there in the past? If it has
I don't
been used,
from this text, unfortunately.
So there will be pests, diseases, and some of those viruses or fungus may be on the structure of the building. Mm. So clean down with something like
baking soda, bucket of water, baking soda, and put it into
But chilies do well in this country, polytunnels.
Absolutely, gorgeous.
Chilies,
gorgeous.
Tomatoes, and lots of people getting into them in the past year and a half.
Lyndon in Galway asks, I have a small garden with a really steep slope with steps going up into a teeny lawn. I really need ideas on how to use it constructively. The upstairs bedroom looks out onto the lawn and the kitchen downstairs is looking at the rock underneath the lawn, if that makes sense. Mm. That does not make any sense to me.
Well, it's a big slope. And what she's not getting the benefit from the main views of the top of the garden. So creating a journey along the way. We did a project with Dermot Bannon on one of his room to improve. And we did almost a
terrace,
terrace. So pathways zigzagging.
Hairpin bends at either side.
All the way up. So the whole slope became the garden.
Mm.
Can I plant new roses where old roses have been?
No, it's generally not a good idea because the soil might have there's a thing called rose sickness. So generally speaking, you pick another spot. Now, you can sterilise the soil by digging it out and all the rest of it. But generally, the rule of thumb is not to plant a rose where a rose once was.
Because there's a fungus in the soil and they don't fully understand what it does. But
it doesn't do, your rose won't do well.
Yeah. It's peculiar to roses and a few other plants, but mainly roses.
It is one of the most fascinating areas of research. Isn't it what the funguses in the soil are doing and how they're communicating with each other, and allowing the plants to communicate with each other?
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
How they talk
absolutely
together.
Incredible.
That matrix, underneath.
Okay. Looking to trim back and change my garden. I have a hawthorn tree in the garden in Dublin. It's not in a fairy fort, but is it still bad to cut this down or trim it? Well, it depends entirely on how superstitious you are, isn't it?
That's it. Generally speaking, you don't. You leave your hawthorn and you work around it.
And I would say, unless it's a hedge, you don't touch it at all.
Yeah,
you really don't. And it is superstition. It really is superstition.
Yeah. You strike me as a supremely rational kind of person, not given to this.
I'm not.
A tree is a tree is a tree is a tree.
One exception. I am not given to this, and there is one exception.
I won't do a hawthorn either.
I won't go near a hawthorn.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. We have to leave listeners' questions and we have to start plumbing the depths of both of you and your superstitions. Well,
listen, I'm not taking the chance. Do you know what I mean? It's one of the oldest fish rogues. No, I won't take it out.
Terrible stories. Terrible that I couldn't share. But no. Really.
Really?
And it could be.
Go on, give us a sanitised one.
No, it's all to do with a hawthorn that was in our back garden.
Mm.
And I was warned. Okay. I was warned. And
have you ever cut down an oak tree?
No. Why would you?
Well, I'm just saying, in your entire career, have you ever cut down any other kind of tree? Have you cut down a pine tree? Have you cut down a Leylandii? I know you won't like those.
Yeah.
Why would you not attribute the bad luck to cutting down a Leylandii?
Look, come on, will you? Leylandii.
All right, moving back to questions. I have tried to grow lupins in big pots, beef-eater variety.
Ooh.
They started off great, but then they died off very quickly within 3 weeks. Gave them adequate amount of irrigation, etc. Lovely sunny spot. What went wrong, please? Asks Ed Bryan and Gordon.
They just don't like pots, and they even if you're giving them as much water as possible, they're hungry feeders. They need a huge amount of food, and they don't generally like pots.
I've planted three in a pot, squeezed them into a pot.
Yeah. They're doing well.
11 p.m. last night.
Oh, that was because I'm going over there today.
You really are quite keen to impress, aren't you?
Yeah.
Philip, can I mention something? Would you mind?
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. It's about Pledge to Plant. Have you heard about it?
No.
Okay, it's to do with the hospice and they're trying to raise funds for the night nurse program.
Mm-hmm.
So 26th of June, you could do this. You could plant up a planter. We'll show you how to do it. I'll give you this plant. You can start off with that, okay? Plant up a planter.
I told you about my hay fever.
Try
and you're moving that plant closer and closer and closer to me.
It's a failure.
You're not persuading me the right way here.
Try and sell it to, or put it up on Instagram or your WhatsApp and get much needed funds and pledge a few bob to the hospice and pledge to plant.
And in a half an hour, Mary and I are going to be live on both our Instagram accounts showing you how to plant up pots and containers for this.
There you are now.
Very good. Your Instagram account isn't any strange name, is it? Or is it just straightforward,
dear
McGavin? Gavin?
Mary Staunton.
That's it. Mary Staunton.
Folks, thank you both
very much.
Take your pollen with you. Leave this room. Thank you very much. No, it's really, really great to have you in. So many more questions, which we're going to have you back. But you know what? There's always going to be
Instagram
an abundance.
In a half an hour, as we're planting up, we'll answer the questions if people want to send them in to us.
You are both very good. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Day-day.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.